It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Whew. Oh boy. What an evening. What a game. Just what a performance here. Folks, welcome to the CLNS post-game show. I am your host, Sam Sheehan. We're coming to you post-Celtics versus Suns. I got my co-host with me, Jack Michael. We're going to be getting to some of your calls, breaking down the thrilling, which it was not thrilling to start, but it will end up being a very thrilling game. Overtime victory by the Boston Celtics, 116-109 over the Phoenix Suns. This episode is brought to you by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street. Shout out to Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, our sponsors. So, wow, I don't even really know where to start with this game. The Celtics played like I'm trying to think of a polite word for how they played. Jack, how would you describe the early goings of this Celtics Suns game? You had to put a label on it.
Ugly, I guess. If you want to put it lightly, I mean, the first quarter was kind of redeemable in that they were getting good shots for the most part. But after that, it kind of just descended into toilet territory where it was just ugly.
Yeah, it was a rough first frame for the Boston Celtics. I mean, they were deep into the fourth quarter. We saw them shooting around maybe I'd say 40%, something like that, or well under 40%, I should say, in the 30s.
Yeah.
But the Celtics would go on. I mean, here's a stat for you. The Celtics had to hit something like 12 of their last shots, and they just hit so many in the overtime. So they ended 39 for 97. And I'm pretty sure they hit more than 15 shots in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter and overtime. But I think we got to start with just the performance by Kyrie Irving. He was just an outrageous performance by him. This is kind of when people talk about, having like an alpha guy on your team and like, what it means to like have Kyrie Irving. I think that people are, they kind of forget that Kyrie Irving can be one of these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like he was LeBron James's like sort of, second fiddle for such a long time, and then he wasn't a part of the big Celtics playoff runs, and everyone was kind of like wondering like, does the Celtics even really need Kyrie Irving? And even outside of just the ridiculous scoring that he brought, just so many of the plays that he made out of the end of the game, the assists, he blocked Booker at least once during overtime, flying around on defense, just all sorts of things that you're looking for in like a tone setter. And, this is when you've got like a superstar, like this is what you want from them. You want them to just be like, no, I'm not going to let us lose this game under any circumstances. And that's what Kyrie did today.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you had tweeted it before. And you just said it right now. This is one of those games where your guy, your leader on the court, he really did set the tone, and like you said, he was flying around, pretty much from the third quarter. For the whole second half, he was making incredible effort plays, going for every rebound, kind of even banging down low at some point with Ayton. He was calling out coverages on defense. It just seemed like he wanted this, And then in the overtime, you know, as we saw, he went and got it. And, you know, we were shooting at one point in the fourth quarter, 30 of 84 from the field. And like you said, we finished out 39 of, what did you say, 97? So, you know, over the last, you know, couple minutes, like 7 or 8 minutes of the game, including the overtime, that's just, you know, it's just incredible execution to be able to not only get the shots, but also hit the shots. Because as we've been saying pretty much for the whole season at this point, getting the shots just hasn't really been enough for this team so far. So to see them get the shots and make the shots in kind of a, you know, high pressure situation on the road, on the West Coast, in a late game, in overtime, you know, that's kind of the takeaway that I have from this game, where it's like, okay, that was, you know, for as ugly as the first, you know, 37, 38 minutes of the game was, that's an encouraging takeaway for me.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, the Celtics actually finished the game 14 for 37 from three, which is 37%, which is mind-boggling that they got up. They like ended up shooting actually okay from three, given just how just ridiculous the beginning of the game was. And I really cannot believe the Celtics won that game. I mean, that was some old school Boston Celtics. That's some Isaiah Thomas. That was like something the Isaiah Thomas Boston Celtics would have done, like would just the absolute rock rolling in garbage fight for the first like three quarters, and then just all of a sudden have the point guard take over in the fourth quarter and lead an OT thing, you know. But the difference is it wasn't Isaiah Thomas anymore; it was Kyrie Irving. You know, his final stat line is pretty ridiculous: 39-7-6. 3-1, like a block, 3 steals, and 7 rebounds.
Six of 13 from three, and I think what 2 or 3 of those came in the overtime. Well, obviously there was the one in the last minute or so of regulation as well. So, just absolutely absurd. You know,
he hit one to start the game. That was like the only points the Celtics had in the game until like 5 minutes left in the first quarter. First possession.
What I was doing the first quarter, because it kind of turned ugly then, I was kind of just keeping track of you know, the possessions we were getting. So after that Kyrie 3, we had, you know, 10 or 11 possessions where I think we had 1 or 2 turnovers, but on every other possession we missed a shot, you know, and 4 or 5 of them were just wide open. There was that Al top of the key jumper miss. Next possession, Gordon Hayward had that layup, that reverse miss. Next possession, Jaylen got a corner 3 miss. Tatum missed a layup. Jaylen missed a layup. Al missed a hook. Hayward missed a wide open corner 3. Jaylen missed another wide open 3. So, you know, not to go back to the negative again, but it was just so, so bad. And you know, we're really going back and forth here from the bad to the good. So, but that really was the tale of this game.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's how about the tale of the season? Like, this is, as you know, kind of cathartic and, you know, made me kind of step away from the ledge a little bit. Like, you know, I was in a pretty dark place, like in the third quarter of this game, because it's, you know, it's, you can kind of explain away losing to the Nuggets on the road. You can't explain away losing to the Phoenix Suns, like, and shooting like 17% or whatever it was.
Oh yeah,
early in the game. So it was just such a like. It was going to be so devastating. And, you know, it is relieving to not have that sort of, you know, chase you into the night, but now you're still left with this, you know, a lot of the same problems you had going into the night. Like, I don't feel better, you know, it wasn't anything that like, you know, made you feel better about the night. You know, it was one of those nights where it's like the Celtics, like got drunk and lost their car. But we found the car, but it's still not a good thing that it happened. You know, like, you want to celebrate like, finding your car in the morning, but like nothing bad happened. The wallet's still in there, registration. There's no animals in the back seat. But the fact that you lost your car the night before is still not great. And that's going to be like what I'm looking at with this game. You know, kind of. Going forward, and it was a rough one. So we're gonna kind of a little bit later on in the show here, we're gonna get into some calls. We got a couple of people on the line. before we get to them, I do want to just go over a couple of other things. Jack, you're what I would call a scholar in Marcus Morris, aka the Flask Dad.
Yes.
What did you think when he touched the ball? Like when they doubled Kyrie to sort of force the ball to him with that, like, overtime. Did you think it was going in?
Well, I didn't think it was going in. I knew it was going in. But
okay.
So watching the NBC Sports Boston feed, you know, just as the inbounds pass was about to be thrown in, Scal kind of threw in. He said, "Watch out for Morris on the tail end of this play." So that's when, you know, that's when I started kind of licking my chops watching the play develop, and I'm like, "Oh, you know, they're doubling Kyrie Irving." Yeah, but it was a wide open shot. There was no one even close to him. Obviously I'm glad it fell. Similar to you, actually, I've been a very vocal supporter of Marcus Morris ever since, the Celtics traded for him. So it was great that the
nobody double great. Checked that. Don't look up any of my old tweets. Please don't tag any of that. But
yeah, don't
just know that I have supported Marcus Morris.
If you want to know about Sam's Morris takes, just DM me. I have all of them bookmarked. We can talk about it anytime you want, but that's for a later date. But yeah, it really was a genius thing. That's not a lie. I do have a bunch of bookmarks. It really was a great, you know, play to, that Brad drew up. Obviously, Marcus Morris, you know, whatever narrative has been said about him in the past, you know, whether that be that he's a chucker or he takes bad shots or he takes too many fadeaways or he's a possession destroyer, this season, in the sample size that we have for this season, however small it is, he's been, you know, a really good shooter off the dribble and on catch and shoots. And he shot, you know, 2 of 5 from 3 tonight, which, you know, that's good. That's 40%. Obviously, one of them was that last shot that, you know, sent the game to overtime. But it really is just a testament to kind of, one, Kyrie trusting another guy to shoot it, and two, you know, Brad being able to draw up a play that gets multiple looks with, what, 5.5 seconds left, something around that. So, like you said, I knew it was going in the second he touched the ball, so.
Yeah. It was a flash that, I mean, it's just so impressive to sort of see Marcus Morris sort of, you know, develop into this. You know, he really has been like the Celtics' like second most reliable player behind, you know, Kyrie, kind of in this second act of the season, you know. Jason Tatum's kind of, you know, fell off a little bit and struggled a little bit, at least from a scoring perspective. Not so much a plus minus one. You know, Tatum still team high plus 15 on the night. He keeps, you know, a positive impact. You know, he continues to be the Celtics' best plus minus leader. He's kind of the new Smart. But we want to shout out Marcus Morris for that. We're gonna throw a commercial break real quick, and when we come back, we're gonna kind of get into some phone calls here. So stick with us, and we're gonna be right back in just a second.
What's up, my Garden Report people? It's Jimmy here, and hear me out. We all know buying tickets to sports and concerts can be very complicated and confusing. We've all gone. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
Okay, we're back. Thanks again to Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. You are listening to the CLNS postgame show here on CLNS Radio. We're coming to you live after the Celtics pulled out a nail-biter against the Phoenix Suns on the West Coast. This is late night. This is after dark, folks. We're talking about that 116-109 victory We're going to go to, first off, we're going to kind of go in the order we got these calls in. So we're going to go to 516 first. 516 area code, you're on with us. Hello?
Just listening. Thank you.
You might need to get a little closer. I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
I think you said it was just listening.
Oh, he's just listening. Okay, never mind. So we'll move along then. Okay. We're going to go to...
Thanks for listening, though.
Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We're going to head out over to a 413 area code. So 413, you're on with us.
What's up, boys? It's Taylor. How are you guys?
Hey, Taylor. How you doing,
up,
man?
Taylor?
First of all, Sam Sheehan, follow me on Twitter, coward. Second...
I will not be coerced. I will not be challenged at my point.
So
this is,
you know,
post game after dark.
Yeah, this is after dark. Real after dark hours here.
Yeah, I've been waiting for a year though for that follow, and it just never came. So it hurts my heart a lot.
I'm just saying,
but
you've got to DM nudes. That's anyway. We'll talk about that. Off air. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, off air.
Okay.
Anyways, so. I think the Kyrie 39 points is what will get a lot of attention. But, you know, being the Kyrie stan I am, I watch for mostly everything he does because I'm obsessed with him. So a lot of the stuff that impressed me today, obviously the scoring is incredible. 18 points from the fourth quarter on is incredible. But that chase down block on Booker, that steal of Booker, and then the pass to Morris and also the pass to Jalen in overtime, I think it's showing – we saw it last year from Kyrie, you know, the more complete point guard, but I think we're seeing a lot more of that transformation of a guy who used to just be a chucker in Cleveland to now he's playing a very complete point guard role. And this year he's finding, at least in his last five games, finding an ability to balance the scoring with also being the playmaker. And also he turned up on the defensive end. I don't know if it's because Tommy Heinsohn called him out or what, but he's playing extremely well in all facets of the game.
Yeah. I had like missed this. I had to hear about this like third hand on like a TNT broadcast that like Tommy had like said something about him like being like out of shape, and that like that was like how much it like flew under my radar. But apparently it made a real difference for Kyrie, because he says it like it lit a fire under him. And you know,
yeah, he basically
looked,
said he needs to lose 5 pounds. Like that's
right.
I think that's exactly what he said on air. He has to lose 5 pounds.
Yeah, and it's like people don't really like say that. Like Tommy is like extremely old school, you know what I'm saying? So and, like, you don't really get that kind of you know, frank honesty. And you know, I don't know. It just Kyrie's like one of, you know, one of the most, I would say he's got some of the highest celebrity, I would say, of any like NBA player. So you know, for him to take that as well as he did, I think that in itself is kind of impressive. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like once you're like as famous as Kyrie is, you can kind of feel a type of way about someone basically calling you fat on television. And he just responded the absolute like best way. And I agree with you, Taylor. Like he has just been a monster ever since. Like just the effort. You know what I'm saying? Like you see him get these rebounds and these like flying in for like to help out on the defensive plays, like these blocks. Like he really has been like, I cannot complain at all. He's been exactly the type of like max player, like guard that you want, at least, you know, for me. So I think that's a spot on observation.
The thing that's, I don't want to say it's surprising necessarily, but you know, I'll be perfectly honest here. I was a guy that did not like Kyrie Irving for pretty much all of his time in Cleveland. I was a big Isaiah is better than Kyrie guy for about 3 years, which obviously changed in August of 2017, but we'll talk about that at a later date. The thing that's really been encouraging to me about his play, you know, not only tonight, but throughout the season so far, has been how much he really does trust his teammates on this team, like how much he really trusts his guys. And Taylor mentioned it when he was talking. He said, you know, the pass to Morris, obviously, for the, you know, arguably the most important play of the game, but also in transition when Jalen missed that one layup with about 35, 40 seconds left, he missed a layup and then he got it back, you know, and obviously scored again. But just to say like, okay, I'm going to give it up to a guy that, you know, hasn't necessarily been having a great game, but you know, he really does trust the guys on the team to make the right play. And, you know, I think that's partially kind of the, I don't want to say teachings of Brad, but kind of the environment that, you know, Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge kind of foster with the team. But also it's a testament to Kyrie's development as a player to say, hey, you know, like, these guys can play. Like, these guys can straight up play. And I'm going to trust them to make the right play because, you know, we obviously have the same interests. We obviously both want to, you know, win the damn game. So, you know, it's just really been, you know, because one of my, like, criticisms of Kyrie back when I didn't like him was, oh, he just shoots it, he doesn't pass, blah, 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 blah. He averages 2 point whatever assists per game, and he sucks, and the team sucks when LeBron wasn't there. But, you know, that's really just all been kind of thrown on its head. You know, going back to last year, you know, these are some of the same points that we were talking about last year, is that Kyrie kind of turned into this hyper-efficient, you know, number one scorer for a team. And he was averaging, you know, career highs in basically assists, rebounds, you know, all those kind of more effort-based stats, I guess I'd call them, as opposed to just scoring.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good point. And I think that he's really playing like a complete player. And, you know, I'll get out of your guys' hair, but I do want to leave you with a couple numbers. Mm-hmm. In his last five games, Kyrie shooting 56% from the field, 53% from three, 95% from the line, and he's averaging 29.5 points with 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Plus, he's leading the team in deflections and loose balls recovered. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy that in the offseason had some MVP buzz, and I don't know how sustainable this kind of run is when you have a team with this many good players. But, I mean, these last five games have been incredible in, like, the peak of Kyrie Irving, you know, in a Celtics uniform. So, just wanted to give you guys that and reiterate that Sami Shi is a coward until he follows me on the Twitter machine.
This is,
well, a lot of other reasons, too. That's not the only
I'm not falling for this. I know that you're Jack, like, holding the phone and, like, throwing his voice. This is Jack is being a coward co-host and trying to slander me on the air. I will not tolerate it. But I do like all those stats that you've uncorked for us, Dan. Those are really the deflections. I'm glad that backs up because that's sort of what I've been seeing. You know, just him sort of
right. Well, right now you're deflecting my point. You're deflecting my point. So I'll see you guys later.
Thank you, Taylor. Oh, that was Taylor. You know what? He's owned me so he owned me so hard that I think I'm going to have to follow him now. All right, so we're gonna get to I'm going to keep it moving here. We're going to get to our next guest. This is interesting because usually with the video boards, you know, there's not like caller ID or anything like that. But this one actually says Ripsen Herzog. It's very interesting. I don't know. So 931. Who is this Ripsen Herzog? I don't know who that is.
As the trash barge propagates through the Atlantic Ocean, it has the equal capacity to find a humpback whale's blowhole or the prison island of Imralda. And as such, Marcus Morris is boundless on the sea in never-ending psychosis in which a father who must be driven home from his son's basketball games.
This is incredible. I had no idea. Wow, this is actually director Werner Herzog that we're on the line with. Werner, would you say that the cosmic horror of realizing that that life is actually a very short and somewhat of a blink in the eye in the great monstrosity of life? Do you think that at all contributed to his getting in there and being able to step into that big moment? Because when life is as short as it is, all big moments are actually quite small.
I would say that in the grand scope of the universe, in which there is a profound many possibilities which may bounce almost like the basketball, that there is no meaning, that there is only the belligerence of man, that there is only such profound suffering, that in it our best moments are insofar as they are celebrations. They are more like agonizing screams into the depths of being fucked in the ass.
We do have... We are, in case everyone hasn't put it together, we are with our friend, the Riffsman. Riffsman, that's very cool that you had Werner Herzog with you over there today. That was it's very cool to hear from him. He was watching the game with you?
Yeah, dude, we're working on Wendo the biography. We're making films together.
That's really cool, man. What did you think of the game out there tonight? I mean, we didn't get to see Robert Williams, the Time Lord, out there tonight, but we did get to see a pretty epic Flash Dad performance. I'd like to get your feedback on it.
Personally, I wanted to die through most of it. But this is why you keep posting, kids. All you kids looking at the fundamentals at home. You keep your ass online because you never know when the Suns are going to have a toilet catastrophe.
This is true.
Night lessons from the man himself. So I hope you're paying attention.
And let's be clear. The Suns did fill up the toilet bowl. I mean, how many turnovers did they have in the game tonight? That was incredible. I've never seen a team turn the ball over as much as 50. Actually, the Celtics actually
15,
turned the ball over 15. More.
So, yeah.
The Celtics had 16. I should put my money where my mouth is. But I do have to say that I really like – are you guys at all like to drop kayfabe for a second here? Are you guys like at all worried about the team? I'm not like I'm still at a point like where if they had lost this game, I think I would have jumped headfirst like into the nihilism of like maybe this team is not actually a title contender. But I'm still sort of waffling back and forth on the fence. So I guess I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
If is this where do you guys come down on this? Because this has been like kind of a run of like bad games here from the Celtics.
Oh, definitely.
You can go.
I was just thinking, on one hand they have the toughest strength of schedule, and it's going to get jacked way up by the Portland game and the Utah game. But I mean, they have such moments of just being a disaster. Like, their offense is so cool because, like, the first two quarters, they'll get just amazing shots that could not hit anything. And then, like, in a four-minute stretch, like, Kyrie and Flash Dad and Jaylen will just start doing these, like, modern marvels of musculature and just owning everybody. I think it's good that they can, like, it was good to see that they still have that way of punching themselves back into a game. But I've had moments watching Tatum this season where I wonder if they actually gave him a lobotomy and that like Drew Hanlon was a false flag.
is Drew Hanlon might be a false prophet. Is Drew Hanlon kind of like that? He might be like the Simpsons like monorail grifter. Like where the jump shots are just sort of like falling apart, like after the long things. I mean, we're at a point
getting,
like, where
dude,
I feel
getting,
dude,
getting
have
NBA
we seen him shirtless?
Pick up.
have we seen him shirtless? Because he might be a Kraftsteen.
Yeah, that's just true. The grift is Drew Hanlon grift. It may be a very real thing here for the. For how things have gone. Do you guys, because here's what I will say in defense of Tatum, though. Like, we brought it up earlier in the show, plus hot, he's still the team leader in plus minus, which I find is kind of shocking to me, but just because this was a particularly, like, disastrous performance by him, and he finished the game plus 15. I think game to game plus minus can be kind of, like, a little tricky. You end up, like, you get in little runs and like it can be weird and funky, and it's probably not a big enough sample size yet to like really put stock in it. But still, the Celtics are still doing most of their damage when Jason Tatum's on the court, which is, and he's still playing like this. So I don't really know what to make of that, but like, I can't help but feel like that's got to be good, right? That, like, you know, whenever he does kind of shake off, you know, the Kobe curse, like, when we – I'm going to break into his house and, like, put salt on his, like, threshold and, like, I just do all manner of dark banishments in every corner of his house to sort of chase away Balrogs or greater daemons that Kobe Bryant left in there. I think that eventually, you know, you think that he's going to have to, you know, sort of return to – how he was playing before, you know, sort of fanning out of the wing, getting the corner threes, driving to the basket. I mean, how long has it been since we saw Jason Tatum, like, scoop shot in the lane? Like, that was, like, his signature.
Yeah, and it, in a game like this, where it was literally a toilet for the entire, like, first half and most of the – a lot of the second half, too, for, I think it is – it does kind of say something that he finished plus 15 because we were down, you know, 20 points for the majority of the game. So, and maybe that could have been the comeback really just happened with him on the court. Oh, well, obviously it means the comeback happened with him on the court, but Sam, I think you're right. And I think it's kind of, you know, for the most part, I don't have any problem with the shots he's taking. That kind of changed a little bit tonight. Cause I think there were some shots that he took tonight where I was just like, no. And like, just no. And, but I think what it really is he kind of has to shift like the mix of shots he's taking. Like, he's taking, you know, he shot 1 3 tonight, and it was the one in overtime that he missed to break our 12-shot-in-a-row streak. But, you know, I think kind of getting back to what he was, you know, at the beginning of last season or when we were on our, you know, when we were on the winning streak last season where he was taking, I think he was only taking like 2 or 3 threes a game, but he was hitting, you know, 50% of them. And most of them were off, like, sidesteps where guys were closing out as opposed to, like, kind of just, like, a hesitation into a hesitation into kind of sizing a guy up into another dribble and then just shoot it. So, you know, I think he might be in his own head a little bit. But, he, you know, he's just – he's trying to do performance art right now, and I kind of respect it.
Yeah,
and this is, like – this isn't based in, like, anything. It's just a feel thing, and everybody knows that I – and basically like Jesus when it comes to understanding the Celtics. And so I'm sorry. No, but like this is just totally anecdotal and it's probably wrong, but I feel like there's the games where the Celtics have been able to be functional in the fourth quarter, I feel like there's a balance of Jaylen's way more aggressive as, like, the number two to Kyrie, and Tatum is playing tall, kind of like Grant Hill, where he's surveying the court more and looking for shooters. Like, I think we saw that in Detroit in both of the games. And, like, the last few minutes, it was about Kyrie and Jaylen just getting to the rack at all costs. And I think that was pretty, not that we don't want Tatum scoring, but I think when he's playing a balanced floor game, he's too good to be making like boneheaded plays. Like he's just a really smart passer when he's using in that capacity.
Well, and we saw, we saw that exact thing when they came out in the third quarter. You know, Jason Tatum wasn't in the starting lineup, and you just saw like the Celtics come out and just like basically attack the rim like there was some sort of like deep family Hatfield and McCoy feud, like they're just a violent like attack on the rim, like each and every time. I think we saw Jaylen, you know, who's, I think Scal had said this on the broadcast, but and I agree with him that, you know, Jaylen really could get to the rim pretty much anytime he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You can see it, and just, you know, sort of those lineups where you just have someone like Marcus Smart, who just is the ultimate sort of utility guy, you know, just, and we'll keep the ball moving. We'll do what needs to, you know, get done, you know, might just be a little bit of a better fit in some of the lineups than Jason Tatum versus, yeah, you know, the Riffs man said it best, like, you know, just sort of picking your spots, turning Tatum into more of a complete player, you know, with the bench where he does get, you know, a chance to sort of like look for things and, you know, keep his head up and, you know, sort of find the spots on the floor, just sort of being, you know, relegated to, you know, the weak side of the floor and taking these like two-step dribble pump, Kobe Bryant, the false prophet shots. So I really do think that, you know, that this is probably a good thing in the long run, but I do think that Brad Stevens maybe need to put, it might not be as cut and dry as we thought about with the starters, you know, so somebody might have to go to the bench here at some point.
In the beginning of the season, it did seem like Jalen was kind of that guy that was getting squeezed out. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously Tatum wasn't shooting, like, as well as we would have liked either, but, like, Jalen really just didn't seem aggressive at all. And, like, Ryan's been saying it, like, for months now. Like, his, like, Jalen strides as a passer, like, especially when he's just barreling towards the rim, but, like, he still sees, like, whether it's in transition and he just sees a guy, you know, trailing him and he'll make the right play, or if he sees just a guy on the wing and he'll dump it out. I think he had one, I can't remember what it was, but it was in the second half where he was just, like, going towards the rim at 100 miles an hour and he dumped it out. And I think it was the one to Gordon Hayward where we just got a three off of it. And like I said, like, Ryan's been saying it for months, like how he's able to do that now, where, like, 2 years ago he would have just, like, fumbled it out of bounds, is just so, like, good for us when we can't get anything else to go. It, like, it really did bring us back into the game tonight.
Yeah. It was just such a, like, a weird game in the, it just sort of exacerbated, like, all of my, like, anxieties about the Celtics. Like, there weren't really any, like, questions answered for me. Like, this season has been,
yeah,
like, you know, like, there's more, the stakes are higher. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, like, you know, there's no horrible opening night injury. There's no, you know, the Celtics have gone, you know, have been within a game of the finals now. Like, everybody knows and expects, you know, something different this time around. And just sort of, you're struggling, you know, losing some of these games, having the Raptors, you know, look less like, you know, we'll see in the playoffs, but, you know, they look less cowardly this year. You know, it looked like the Sixers might be the Celtics' biggest hurdle last year, and they're, like, just getting, like, Jack, you've posted them out of existence. Like, you've actually ruined a team with I think in history, so hats off to that. But, you know, you sort of see the Bucks sort of, you know, rise in their place. You know, we've seen
The Bucks are currently up 25 on the Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is that real? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's going to be, you know, the road is rockier, I guess is what I'm saying. And I know better. I should know better with the – I've watched the Celtics now for, like, you know, very closely for 8 years now, and I should know better than to ever be worried at any point early in the year for any extended period of time. But it's just it is so traumatic to be, like, down 20 points to the Suns for, like, 36 minutes of the game. Have them at the absolute last second just pull it out. Oh, boy.
My thing is, like, Brad has obviously been saying it for years, and, you know, the process over results, the, you know, the kind of growth mindset thing, the kind of constantly getting better. And, you know, at halftime, I was kind of just sitting, I muted the TV because, you know, no offense to Tommy and Kyle Draper and the crew, but I was very upset at halftime today. But and I was kind of just sitting in my room in silence, and I was thinking to myself, like, when do the results matter over the process? Like, there has to be some point where, you know, where we're taking these wide open shots and they're just clanking them off the rim, and there has to be a point where it's like, all right, maybe, like, find a different look if that's not going to work. Like, you know, something that I wanted to kind of see the Celtics do before the game was I wanted to see them try and get to the line a lot more.
Yeah.
Which is obviously something that, you know, has been said by a lot of people, and a lot of people are trying to look for. And, you know, within the first couple of plays of the game, Kyrie took it right to the rim. And, you know, followed by, you know, that period of total garbage. But, you know, that it got me thinking, like, when does kind of that process over results kind of get flipped to where we're like, all right, like, just please, like, just hit a shot, you know?
Yeah,
just get some layups. Like, close shots are easier than hard shots or than far shots, so just, you know, some just get a layup sometimes, you know.
And it does kind of, you know, it makes me enter this, like, existential, like, chicken and the egg crisis where it's like, you know, like, is this team actually so bad at shooting that good shots aren't actually good shots anymore? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So bad at three-point shooting that, like, a good shot is not what they need, and there needs to be, like, some sort of weird examination of that. I'm not really sure. We only got a little bit. We got one caller left to get to. We thanks the Riffs man. We lost him. His phone died from too much partying. But I will say that I want to one more time remind everyone that this episode is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat.
That's right.
And this Boston Tattoo Company is in Boston's historic North End. That is the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. That is what it represents. It is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become the home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for hundreds of thousands of people that visit North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area of its core, located at 113 Salem Street. Shout out to a Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, because I might need to dip in there and get my haircut whenever I come up for a game. We got one more caller to get to here to kind of end our show. I've been waiting very patiently. We got a 617 area code. So 617, you're on.
Yo, what up?
Yo, how we doing? Who are we on the line with?
Yo, it's Wolfgang. First off, I wanted to say I will get you back the $40 I owe you. Don't worry.
Taylor, the real way to end her thing. Kind words, the reassurance.
I didn't know how to follow up the riffs, man. So yeah. I just wanted to say that right off the bat. Second of all, I would like to say you're welcome. Winning the game for the Celtics. I was at work for most of this, and then I turned it on with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So I only saw them kick ass tonight. So I'm gonna assume that I was the reason that they won. So you're welcome.
I actually saw Kyrie look into the camera and say, "This one's for you, Wolf." So I was. I
yeah,
thought was
yeah, exactly.
SBU fan.
Yeah. All right, but the main reason I wanted to call was I just wanted to say how masterful of a tank job this was by the Suns. Like, this is
man.
Like
incredible.
The cutting edge of tanking here, and it was a beauty to watch, because I used to be one of those people who was like, oh man, Devin Booker's 70-point game doesn't count. Like, they lost the game, like, and I was really a hard ass about that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, now I'm like, they were trying to lose that game, and they were trying to lose this game. And if you think about it with that in mind, what a beautiful way to lose a game.
Yeah.
Like, you got everything you wanted to see out of Devin Booker. Like, I mean, I guess you could have featured Ayton a little more. Me saying that I only saw the last, like, 10 minutes of the game, but I'm watching highlights right now.
No,
but
you got your TJ Warren trade value up. You know, you fed him the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Got him all his points. Yeah. No, I'm
comes,
with you.
It comes a day after Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Didn't they say something to the media where it was like, we're tired of losing games? And
yeah.
Then Devin Booker comes out and scores 30, however many points. You know, almost, you know, they look like they're going to blow out one of the better teams in the NBA, only to throw it in the trash. So, I agree on all counts, Wolf. Like, that was absolutely masterful. Like, a real, like, oh.
Like, all you had to do was, like, they really just had to. I mean, I think that enough probably isn't being made with that. They didn't foul when the Celtics needed a 3-to-tie, which was a pretty interesting strategy when Kyrie Irving was basically on fire and flashed that, basically had, I think, basically bellowed out, "I don't fear God."
I got to look at the replay of that.
Possession.
I got to
yeah.
look at the replay of that shot that got them to overtime, because I know when they're replaying it, there's like at least half a second where Kyrie passes the ball to Moot, and he's just, there's no other player on the screen. Like, he's
on
the replay angle, he's by himself for the game-tying shot.
Him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Oh, man, it's incredible. It really was, like, such a – I just don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what percentage, like, the Celtics, like, won that game and what percentage, like, the Suns lost it. I think it's probably
not
like
Kyrie
75.
Won that game.
The Suns lost it, yeah, and then Kyrie was like the rest of it. You know, it really is like, I mean I slander Bill Simmons quite a bit, but I do think that one of the good points that I think he's had is, you know, that you know, you do, if you're gonna win 60 games or you're gonna win like a ton of games, you need someone, you know, who has that sort of like, just to get insanely mad and just be like, no, we're like not going to lose this game. And I'm just going to drag us over the finish line and we're going to get there. And we're going to win, you know, this game where nothing has gone right. Like, we're going to win everything. And, you know, he almost did it in Denver. Like, that's the other thing that's crazy.
Yeah.
And they kind of froze out over the last 2 minutes of the game for whatever reason. But up until that point, he was like kind of out-dueling Murray, you know, until like, but then Murray's team kind of like fed him down the stretch, and Kyrie, for whatever reason, didn't touch the ball again. But I think we saw out there tonight that, you know, that this was not, we weren't going to see a repeat performance, you know, that Kyrie was going to go out there and get the damn thing done. So,
it's one of the reasons I have the hot take that the Celtics are going to be fine, which seems like if they lost this game, I was still going to have that take because like from what we see from Kyrie on just little glimpses like this, I am not worried about them in the playoffs, to be honest. Like when we're playing Kyrie Irving for like 42 minutes a game and he just has the green light with 5 minutes to go. Like we see what he does when you do that. Like we've never just unleashed him. Yeah, we've never had to. And then, like, once we got to the place where we could, he got hurt. So, Gordon Hayward doesn't even need to come. Well, I mean, like, I would like for him to come back and be good, but we don't even need him because we have.
Yeah. We've just basically have like this good mix of talent, you know, like there's like even, you know, honestly, you know, Flashdad has kind of outperformed Gordon Hayward. I think it's not crazy to say that early in the year. You know, you expect Gordon Hayward obviously to get better.
If you switch their stats and showed it to me at the beginning of the year, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, Gordon Hayward, you know, of course Gordon Hayward hit the big three at the end of the game to send it to a T. like that would be the kind of the move for him. I do think Gordon Hayward is going to get better, and I think that, you know, eventually the Celtics are not going to, you know, this was another game where they just had an infinite amount of open looks and just could not hit any of them, and I just, it keeps happening, and I guess at a certain point you're just going to have to, you know, look yourself in the mirror and say, like, maybe we just can't shoot well, but I'm not at that point yet, I guess. I've talked myself throughout the course of the episode. I've talked myself in and out of it a couple of times. Well, but they really are just shooting catastrophically bad on the open looks. So, you know, you got to think the offense will settle in. I did bet $20 the Celtics would finish in the top 10 in offense this year. They were 30th coming into the game tonight, so I'm not feeling great about that bet, but hopefully they can do better.
Are they better?
What
than
an ironic
now?
Way for us to be cursed.
Yeah.
Like, for if we just, like, because, like, I agree with what you were saying earlier about, like, if we just keep missing, we have to just rethink, like, what are good shots. And, like, I don't think it's going to reach that point. Like, even if we're missing wide open threes all the time, one, that is ironic and we deserve it. But two, like you can't game plan around that. Like, you can't just accept that everyone on your team can't shoot open looks. Like, then why have a basketball team?
Right.
Yeah, I don't I don't want to come up
like,
right now as like
steal their phrase, but trust the process. Like, to steal their phrase. Like, you just trust the open looks are gonna fall. Like, they have the talent to continually get them all the time, and their defense is starting to improve, so, like, that's something to look up to. Like, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah. All right. So that's pretty much going to do it for us here late on the game. Wolf, appreciate you calling in, man.
No problem, man.
Good. This has been myself. We got my co-host here, Jack Michael, with me. We're coming to you here in the last 15 seconds of the show. Once again, thanks for joining us. The final score of the game tonight, the Boston Celtics 116, Phoenix Suns 109. We're going to be back later on this week with the next Celtics game. You can go ahead and check your local listings for that game. And come Utah, November 9th. Come hang out with us here on the postgame show. Thanks again to Boston Barber and Tattoo Company for sponsoring the show. Good night.
Night.